This reading is from Isaiah 40, and it's 1 through 11. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald the good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We are invited to prepare for the day when God will be among us again. We hear of this vision of comfort, of rest for those who struggle, and we must repent, it says, and do it soon, because we do not know the day or the hour for which Christ will return. Even so, God's love for us is unending. Let us pray. May the words of my heart and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Have you heard the term cheap grace? I understand it to be this idea that if you expect it to come, if you without abandonment have an expectation that you should just receive it, or if you don't put great value on God's grace, then that grace that you're offered isn't complete, isn't authentic. That grace, like forgiveness, is a gift that's not one we should expect, or that any recipient should expect, but one that should be offered by the giver out of a deep comfort and consultation, thoughtful. I think of grace as thoughtful. Forgiveness is thoughtful, right? Sometimes my kids say I'm sorry, and then they say I don't know why I said it. That's the opposite of how it should be. Yeah, it shouldn't be flippant or without respect, and it should be care-filled, right? Now, our scripture lesson and our word, and if you've been around for the last 25 minutes, you know that forgiveness and grace aren't our plans for today, but the word today is love. But I got stuck while thinking about that there's no way we can get to love until we have grace and forgiveness. In fact, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah talk about punishments, the attack of the people, the exile of the people. It sounds like a lot of bad news if you read it, right? Bad news from God. And it talks about judgment for the sins, right? It's rather bleak. But beginning in chapter 40, today's verse, we get to hear of what some call the second Isaiah, or the opposite of that first section. We get to hear comfort and good news. We get to be reminded of God's promise of redemption. See, we can gather that God's judgment always serves the more encompassing purpose of God's forgiveness and redemption for a sinful community, but we must not always look ahead to the end. the redeemed part, sometimes we need to sit in what's actually happening. I'm not one to read the last chapter of a book before I've read the beginning. Are you? No. And yet, our Christian faith, those of us who've been involved in a church for longer than this year, have some idea what we're all expecting, what we're hoping for, right? And we could label it Baby Jesus, right? Or we could call it Christmas Day. But with that, for each of us comes something. And for most of us, it's something big, something full of comfort and joy, right? That's why we sing those songs. Yeah, for some of us, it's the singing or the being together. For others, it's the perfect, oh, cookies, right? Oh, sorry, I just got thinking about my grandma's molasses cookies. Woo! Yeah, but Christmas means something different for each of us, and yet we are invited during these 4 weeks before then to slow down, to set Christmas aside, and to prepare. I find nothing more frustrating in my home than not being ready for what's coming next. In fact, I had to say that this week. I will not go and leave this house and be late for the next event. I will just not go. We are either going to be ready and walk out the door prepared and dressed and shoes. Oh my goodness, shoes shouldn't be a problem, right? But I'm not going to get there and still have to put your hair together, right? Either we're going or we're not. That's how I feel about Christmas this year. That's how I look at this season of Advent. We can get there. Sure, we can all show up for Christmas, and if you have to come all tattered and in your pajamas, that's fine, right? Whatever you can live with. But I want us to at least think about where we're going and what we're doing so that that day and this time of preparation can be filled with love. As each of my children were welcomed into our home, I had some very wisdom-filled people tell me how I should feel and how I should think about these blessings I'd received. And many of them had been years from their comment to me and when they held their blessings. But I was often told of this unconditional love that I must feel towards these tiny humans that I had been blessed with. And I'm not saying that I don't have that feeling, but I often pondered and laughed, and I definitely considered what this unconditional love idea must be. And I realized that unlike God's love for me, I wasn't the one to give the unconditional love. My children love me no matter what. Like, I can be late on feeding them, they still come back and eat with me again, right? I can correct their behavior over and over and over again, and yet they still want to be with me, right? I can mess up my chance, forget about kindness, I can be untimely in my care, and they quickly move on and come back for more. And I realized that what they have taught me is how to receive unconditional love, not necessarily how to give it. That I am like the sinner that approaches God multiple times a day asking for forgiveness and another chance, and that they, like God, give me the opportunity to have that. Each time they grant me love and forgiveness and care. And yet, music, right? Music rings in my head. There's that song, The Cat's in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon, right? And I think I better not waste my chances, right? That poor father in that story, he wasted it. He wasted it. Yeah. So I need to be smart enough to not use them up, even though they're probably never going to be used up. This isn't just a parent-child relationship that I think about when I think about this kind of love. It can be partner to partner. It can be with your coworkers or your friends. It can be with your church family. It should be. And most importantly, it should be with your God, right? if you truly can accept that God loves you unconditionally, then I think we'll be ready for Christmas. Yeah. See, I understand God as one who offers not only an endless bucket of redemption, but gives us takebacks and comfort, and at times reminds us that that tank could be empty any day. But so far, in my experience, and for those that I know that have known God, God's love has never run out. The people that the prophet Isaiah was speaking of had lived through a time of great suffrage. They just wanted a little peace. Yeah, they wanted a time when they didn't have to worry about where their next meal was going to come from. They wanted to have a couple years without weeping, possibly. They wanted their family to be safe. They wanted to breathe clean air. Maybe if we allow ourselves, we're not too far from those people. Even with all of our creature comforts in this world, in our space, we have most of us have homes that are well lit, well heated. We have conveniences that people in other lands wonder why we even need that, right? And yet I recognize that even with all of that, some of us, sometimes all of us, still feel like we're sitting in the darkness. Sometimes the boundless lack of illumination can feel vast, like a vast cave of the unknown. Too large for us to traverse, too dark to comprehend, and too tremendous to consider. And yet the sun rises each morning. There's a scripture verse. I should learn their addresses too, but there's one that my mom always turned to, and she said, "And yet the joy will come in the morning." Yeah, if you're open to it. If you're open to it. I wonder, friends, if there's something today that you can name that's holding you back from receiving God's unconditional love for you. I know that sometimes the darkness isn't around us, it's within us. I know sometimes we can't find light for the motivation or for the determination. We don't have the light of care within us or the energy to be a vessel for Jesus' light. Sometimes it feels like our bodies are just too broken or worn out to carry anything like as precious as the light of God, right? Sometimes our crooks and our crannies feel more like cracks and breaks than anything. And yet God says, even in your flaws, you may be one that lets the light shine through you like a window. I'm not sure what to preach on when we talk about love, but I am sure of this. I am sure that God has invited me to remind you that no matter what your earthly vessel may look like or feel like this day, that you are equipped, you have been constructed, and you are permeable enough if you let yourself see that, so that God's light may shine through you in this world of darkness. You don't have to change your vocabulary. You don't even have to get a new wardrobe, right? Don't schedule a haircut or anything, right? You just have to accept that God loves you for you. And you have to be willing to bear the light, to look silly with your finger up, right? If you need to. Yeah. Be proud but not boastful. Be strong but not combative. Be prepared but not untrained. Be receptive, not narrow-minded or close-hearted, and let God's light illuminate your heart with love. On this Sunday where we celebrate communion, I see a table of love offered to all of us without condition. May we be people who can receive it and share it and bear the light of Christ this day and always. Amen.